Revelation chapter 1, verse 12 through 16. Revelation chapter 1, verse 12 through 16. This is the reading of God's word. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet, and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white, like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, when it has been made to glow in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. Amen. Please be seated. Let us ask our God to bless the preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this precious time of hearing of Your Word. We ask that Your Word will be preached correctly, and through Your Word, that Your people will see and meet Your Son, risen from the dead, our Lord, our God, Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that You and You alone will receive all the glory. We thank You, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in the Korean worship, I'm going to begin the book of Matthew today. What I want to do is go one sermon behind the Korean worship. That way, we don't, you know, I'm not preaching the same sermon same day. So we'll begin looking at the book of Matthew. Next week is Lord's Supper, so week after that, week after next week, we'll start the book of Matthew. Please start reading the book of Matthew. I know I say this every week, and I really wonder how many people actually do that. But if you do, it will be beneficial to you. So today, I just chose this sermon. I know some of you already heard it before, but I thought it would be wonderful to see through His Word, the risen Lord, how beautiful and how glorious He is. The book of Revelation, according to verse 1 of chapter 1, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the revelation from Jesus Christ, and it is the revelation about our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is, according to verse 5 of our chapter, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. He, according to verse 5b, loves us and released us from our sins by His blood, and He has made us to be a kingdom priest to His God and Father. And verse 7a says, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him. He is, according to verse 8a, the Alpha and the Omega. And according to verse 8b, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This Lord is whom we are worshiping today. As you remember, John was at Patmos Island. But he was also in spirit. And just like you who are worshiping in truth and in spirit, just like John was in spirit, this John who was in spirit is meeting his Lord, the resurrected Lord, and seeing the kingdom, his kingdom. John hears his Lord, voice of Jesus Christ. To see Jesus is to see God, because Jesus is the eternal God. And you are here in the city of Long Beach. But I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, that you are also in spirit. And through the Word of God, you and also I are meeting our Lord Jesus Christ and seeing His kingdom. It will be most tragic if you do not understand this. Even as we are gathered here, you are gathered in that glorious place. And even though we cannot see with our physical eyes, we are meeting the risen Lord. And we are looking at His kingdom. How is the sight for you? Is it glorious? Or all you see is these walls and windows and us? See, that will be very tragic. Jesus commands John to write a letter and send it to seven churches. And verse 12, that's where we pick up. Then I turned, John turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. John turns to see his Lord, and the first thing that he sees is seven golden lampstands. Now verse 20 of our chapter 20b says, the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So, as John sees seven lampstands, what is he seeing? He's seeing God's church. And verse 13a, and in the middle of the lampstands. Now, what does that mean? Middle of the lampstands. The midst of his church. I saw one like a son of man. Now, Christ and Heaven, OPC, this is his church. When John sees with the spiritual eye, he sees Jesus Christ with his church. Now, brothers and sisters, that means Jesus is with us, his church. Again, do you see him? Of course, we're not talking about the physical sight. But do you have faith? Faith that enables you to see beyond this physical world. John sees one like a son of man. And this is the person that Daniel saw long ago. Daniel chapter 7 verse 13 through 14. Daniel says, I kept looking in the night visions. And behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days, God the Father, and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. The person that John sees in our passage is the same person that Daniel saw long ago. In the Gospels, Jesus often referred himself as the Son of Man. John sees the risen Lord Jesus Christ, but the location where this Lord is standing is in the midst of his church. Now again, you need to understand, physically we're sitting here, but our spiritual reality is that we have gathered in that glorious place. He who was with his people of the Old Testament through the glory cloud is now with his church. He is in the middle of the lampstands, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. He is in the middle of the lampstands. Now when you hear that, the Old Testament imagery comes up. In the Old Testament language, if he is in the middle of lampstand, if he is near the lampstand, where is he? He is in the tabernacle. He is in the temple. Now, as you know, the temple and the tabernacle of the Old Testament was a symbol of the church, you. Because you are the temple of God. The lampstand was in the temple in a room called the Holies. And the inner room was called Holy of Holies, but this was in the outer room. But we are the true temple. The church is the true temple. Our risen Lord then is with his church. Now this is very important for you to know and understand and believe. That he's with us. You are not worshiping God who is far away. He is with us. He lives in you. He lives in his church. Now, from verse 13b then, we see John's description of our Lord. Now from this, I want you to see your Lord. Nine things are spoken of our Lord. Jesus Christ our Lord, who was resurrected from the dead and now lives forever. Jesus Christ our Lord, who is all-knowing and all-powerful, the most glorious and most holy King, and our eternal High Priest, is described here in a symbolical language. The description tells us more of who He is rather than how He looks like. I don't want you to think that Jesus actually looks like this physically. This is very symbolical language. We do not expect to see our Lord in heaven looking just like what we see here. But still, we learn so much of who He is and what He has done for us. From verses 13b all the way to 16 then, we see Jesus Christ clothed in a robe reaching to the feet, girded across His chest with a golden sash. His head and His hair were like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. And His feet were like burnished bronze when it has been made to glow in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of many waters. In His right hand, He held seven stars. Out of His mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and His face was like the sun shining in its strength. Obviously, we do not have time to look at these things in detail. But let us meet our Lord, our Savior, the Jesus Christ, the same Jesus that John is meeting. Let us meet Him through His Word. And if His sight doesn't give you joy, I don't know what can. And if any other thing gives you joy when His sight doesn't, there's something really wrong with you as far as your religion is concerned. Seriously wrong. We come to worship to meet the Lord. We come to behold the beauty and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. If that is not the purpose why you are here, then you are here for wrong reason, wrong purpose. We're joyous, we're happy, because we are meeting our Lord who is resurrected from the dead. Or rather, He is meeting with us. He receives us to Him. So that as we see Him, as we meet Him, we have fellowship with Him. And He is beholding you, your beauty, and your glory. And He is so happy to see you. As we are so happy to see Him. He is clothed in a robe reaching to the feet. What do we know about our Lord Jesus Christ by this? He is in the middle of the lampstands, meaning He is in the temple. And what He is wearing reminds us of the high priestly garment that we see in Exodus 28, where we see God's instruction on how to make the priestly garment. Jesus Christ is our eternal High Priest. In chapter 19, verse 13, we read, He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. In the Old Testament, If one is to go in the temple to see the high priest, then he will see the high priest clothed with priestly garments, that is, sprinkled with the blood of animals that he has sacrificed. Jesus Christ, he is our eternal high priest who sacrificed himself as the once and for all eternal and perfect sacrifice for our sins. Girded across his chest with a golden sash, the high priest also wore a sash around his waist. But here we see him with a golden sash girded across his chest. This, we say, is a picture of a king. We see a golden sash from the garments of the ancient kings. From these two things, then, we see our Lord Jesus Christ as our eternal royal priest. But I want you to understand, as we see our Lord Jesus Christ, who is risen from the dead, I want you to also see who you are in him. Other than you becoming God, that will never happen. You could claim what is true of Jesus as your reality. Our risen Lord is royal priest. And you and I are also the royal priests. Peter tells us in his letters that we are royal priesthood of God. Chapter 22, verse 5b says, "And they will reign," meaning you and I will reign forever and ever. Yes, we are king. And chapter 7, verse 15, "For this reason they are before the throne of God, and they serve God day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tabernacle over them." So we see the picture of heaven, where God's people are serving God in his temple, and God spread the tabernacle over them. Symbolical language. But we learn a lot from that we are priests. Priests are the ones who work under that tabernacle, serving God in the Old Testament. So you are also kings and priests of God. His head and his hair were white like white wool, like snow. We see the same description of God the Father in Daniel 7, verse 9. "I kept looking until throne was set up, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His vesture was like white snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was ablaze with flames. Its wheels were a burning fire." But here, John applies the same description that Daniel used to describe the Father, God the Father. He uses that same description. He applies it to our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is God. Our catechism says there are three persons in the Godhead: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. And many Old Testament passages teaches us that white hair symbolizes glory, honor, and wisdom. His eyes were like a flame of fire. He sees all. He has the penetrating eyes that sees everything. Here we see him as the judge, God the judge, who decides and judges all things. Yes, we could do many things behind people's eyes. But our Lord has eyes like a flaming of fire. Chapter 19, verse 11 and 12, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and his head are many diadems, and he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He sees all and he knows all. He will judge the whole world." Chapter 2, verse 18b, 19a, 28. "The Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, says this." And he says, "I know your deeds, but I have this against you." See, he has eyes like a flame of fire, and he says, "I know your deeds, and I have this against you." He sees and he judges. He sees you, and he sees me. He sees our church. With the eyes of flame of fire, the penetrating eyes, he sees and knows all. Now, I don't know. For some of you, this is not that good news. That he sees. But actually, this is very comforting. That he sees all and he knows all. We are able to deceive man, but not God. He desires for you and me to repent and be faithful unto death. His feet were like burnished bronze. When it has been made to glow in a furnace. Now this one is very difficult to translate. Burnished bronze. It is a compound word, two words put it together to make one word. And it appears only here in chapter 2 verse 18 throughout the whole Bible. Two words that are compounded are literally brass and frankincense. Brass points to power, authority, and sovereignty. Chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, Revelation. "I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire, and he had in his hand a little book which was open. He placed his right foot on the sea and his left on the land." So there you see that picture. He is ruling. He is reigning over all the land and the sea. Psalm 110 verse 1b, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. A picture of victorious king. His feet shows us his power and authority. Now the other word, frankincense, shows us how then he possesses that power and authority. Frankincense, it is a sweet aroma to our God when it is burned with a sacrifice in the Old Testament. All points to our Lord's perfect sacrifice on the cross. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2b, Christ gave himself up for us an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Thus the authority that our Lord, the breath shows the authority that our Lord Jesus Christ possesses has been given to him through suffering and death, frankincense. So we are to see those two words, put it together, and we are to see this authority has given to our Lord. But that authority he earned by suffering and death. Now when we say these things, I want you to understand. When it comes to Jesus Christ, you need to understand him in two levels. One, as an eternal God. The other, as the Messiah. The man. Of course, we cannot separate a man Jesus from God Jesus. Definitely, that is not biblical. But when we say things like the authority has been given to him, we need to understand that we're talking about man Jesus, the Messiah. Because as the eternal God, Jesus always had the authority. But as the Messiah, after he accomplishes what he has came here to do, the authority is given to him as our representative, the Messiah. Now he has the authority. When it has been made to glow in a furnace, or New King James, as if refined in a furnace. Now the phrase refers to suffering. Chapter 3 verse 18a, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich. These people thought they were very rich because they had some wealth in this world. But God, Jesus Christ, who has flaming, like eyes of flaming fire, he said, you're not rich, you're very poor. And he says, buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich. Now here, gold refined by fire refers to suffering. Brothers and sisters, do you hear that? If you want to be rich, suffer in Jesus Christ. You got to have the perspective of God. You have to look at things the way God sees. You might show me a rich man, but to me, he may not be rich. You may show me a poor man, but to me, he might not be poor. What matters is how God sees. And we should do the same. So do not call anyone rich or poor by the standard of this world. Don't ever do that. Because that's not how we are. and that you never see yourself that way either. Please, brothers and sisters, don't ever do that to yourself. Don't judge yourself by the standard of this world. Jesus says to those people who think they're rich, you say that you are rich and wealthy, but you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Buy from me suffering and make you rich. I mean, think about it, brothers and sisters. If this is the message of our religion, if the Holy Spirit doesn't come and make you a new person, why would anybody follow Jesus? Unless you twist the message, unless you change the message so that people will like it. The real way, wealth, the sharing of the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ, thus his feet points to his glory, power, and the authority that he gained through the suffering. But you also will reign with him. In order for us to share in his glory, we must share in his suffering, Paul says in Romans 8. His voice was like the sound of many waters. He is speaking God. Our God is not a deaf. The voice of God was often compared with the sound of many waters in the Old Testament. Ezekiel 43:2, and behold, the glory of God of Israel was coming from the way of the east, and his voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. That voice is what John is hearing. He speaks with the authority. The beginning of all seven letters in chapter 2 and chapter 3 has the phrase, he who says this. Do you remember the similar passages in the Old Testament? Says the Lord God. You know, you will read whatever that God said and said at the end, says the Lord God. When Jesus speaks, God speaks. The ending of all seven letters has the phrase, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Jesus Christ, our God, speaks to his church through the Holy Spirit by his word. Do you hear him? God gives us his church the ear that hears his word and understand it and believe it and obey it. Now the last three things points to what our Lord is doing right now. In his right hand he held seven stars. Verse 20b says seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The beginning of all seven letters has the phrase to the angel of the church in and location and says right. The letter is written to the angel of the church, but he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Thus, the angel is equal to the church. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, but the angels represents the church. Thus, the seven stars, just like the seven lampstands, symbolizes the church. In his right hand, he held seven stars. He is in charge of his church. He is the king of his church. He is in control of his church. His power is with his church. He holds his church in his hand. He rules his church with sovereign grace. The right hand, a symbol of power and authority. He holds his church with his power and with his authority. He holds you. He holds me with his power and with his authority. John chapter 10 verse 28 through 30, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. One of my teachers used to call this double protection. Out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intention of the heart. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The two-edged sword is a symbol of God's word. Jesus Christ speaks his word. But here, what is emphasized is the sword. His word is the sword. With his word, then, he protects his church. With his word, then, he destroys his enemy. You have a picture of general who holds the sword to destroy the enemy. Again, symbolical language of that time. Today, I don't know if Revelation is written today. We might not see sword, but like missile coming out. I don't know. But that's the idea. Sword. From it, we see a picture of warrior. Isaiah 11:4, but with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth, and he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. And with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. 49 verse 2 said of the Messiah, he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. Creation, new creation, and judgment, all is by his word. The triumphs, he triumphs over his enemies by his word. Revelation 2:16, therefore repent, or else I am coming to you quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth. Chapter 19 verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. Verse 15, from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. Verse 21, and the rest were killed with the sword which came from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. So you have that picture, the sword coming out of his mouth. We too destroy our enemies with his sword. All will be judged by his word. John chapter 12 verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. With his word, our Lord protects his church, and with his word, he will judge the world. His face was like the sun shining in its strength. Revelation 22, verse 4 and 5, they will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the light of lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. Jesus Christ, our God, is the light of the world. He is the light of His church. He shines His church forever and ever. He is the true light. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. He will always shine on His church. He looks at His church with His smile, shining face. Brothers and sisters, you and I, we are meeting our Lord Jesus Christ. That same Jesus Christ, the glorious Savior and the Lord and God. Do you see Him? Is He beautiful? Is He glorious? All-knowing, all-powerful, glorious God with all the power and glory and authority, our eternal High Priest, our eternal King who speaks to His church, He rules His church, He shines His glory and light upon His church now and forever. Do you see Him? This Lord is your Lord, your Savior, your God. Brothers and sisters, you have come to meet Him. You have come to worship Him. Enjoy Him. Enjoy your Lord. Enjoy your God. Just like you would enjoy the person that you love. Just being with that person, you're so happy. Enjoy your God. Love Him. Praise Him. Give Him all the glory. Let us worship Him, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us come and bow down and worship our Lord. He is with you. He is with His church. He is with His people. To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, You are so beautiful to us. We thank You that we are able to come to You and see You through Your Word and meet You. Oh Father, bless every one of us. Bless them that their spiritual eyes will be opened, wide opened, so that they may be able to see the beauty and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the beauty and the glory of our eternal kingdom. Oh Father, indeed, the sight is glorious. We love You, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.